It was about me being able to say, hey daddy, can you see me now? You see, I'm entrepreneur, can you see me now? I'm on Berita Harian, can you see me now? I went here, I went there, can you see me now? I got this client, can you see me now? I'm on today paper, you know, can you see me now? Because I never had that when I was a child. Yeah, talk about being real, right? And I think it was really when I started to resolve some of these issues internally, when I started realizing what I was doing to myself.
Hello, beautiful one, and welcome back to another beautiful episode on the Good Life Podcast with me, Noor.
And me, Mizi Wahid.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode with us. Thank you for journeying with us on this soulful, ever-growing journey.
And speaking of growing, we hope that our podcast is your companion for your personal growth journey. We hope that everything that we're sharing here with our amazing guests continue to help you and assist you in ways that you will then be able to flourish in your career, in your life, in your relationships.
Totally. You know, I'm so excited, you know, every time coming into, you know, the recording sessions, because it is a place where I feel we're able to exchange ideas, talk about, like, you know, like-minded stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, you know, growing the mind, growing the self. And it's something that excites me so much.
What excites me, is really imagining the people who are listening in and tuning in and really, you know, immersing themselves in the content that we're sharing, because I'm a podcast listener too, and I love to do that. When I'm listening, I'm like, okay, I'm imagining myself in front of the person and in the studio and listening. So it's a joy to have you guys. Please let us know what you love about our episodes. Tag us if you listen to us on our social media accounts. We're on Instagram, mainly the Good Life_podcast. And so thank you so much for your support all these years.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, this episode is in collaboration with Workforce Singapore, a stat board under the Ministry of Manpower. So they are a government body that helps individuals meet their career aspirations, secure quality jobs, and strengthens inclusiveness of workforce in the face of change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, so following up from the previous episode, we will continue our conversations with regards to your career growth and how to discover your key strengths specifically to help you make better career choices.
Yeah, totally. You know, we know how important it is, right, to be able to know the self on a deeper level, because it's something that dictates every single decision that we make in our lives, literally, right? And you know what? We are so excited for today's episode because we have a guest with us, you know, who's going to be sharing with us his wealth of experiences.
And wisdom.
And wisdom, right? And, you know, it is none other than Imran Muhammad.
Yay. Hello.
Hey. I'm so happy because the first episode, we recorded it with Noor's brother.
Yeah.
So now I got a brother from another mother. My good friend Imran, we've known each other for, 8-9 years, I think, around
way
there.
Back.
Yeah. So it's nice to have you back, man.
Thanks for having me. I actually took a trip down memory lane before coming here. And, you know, I've spoken at your events. You've spoken at my events. Yeah, Our children have played together. Yeah. We've even flown to Dubai together.
Yeah. Wow.
There's lots of history. Like, you know, if you don't know anything about Mizi, maybe you can ask me.
It sounds like a long history of stuff that y'all have been together, man.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And we actually are living very close by, right? We're living quite near each other. Am I right?
Yeah. like a couple of junctions.
Yeah, a couple of junctions.
Just one prata shop away.
True.
Awesome. So, you know, just to give a background on what he does, Imran is a husband, a father, and he's currently the head of marketing at AI Amazing, which is the preferred mall data analytics firm in Asia. He's also a published author, speaker, and a 10-year entrepreneur with core experiences in direct, I was going to say boredom.
Boardroom.
You might as well have said that.
But that's one of the qualities of a boardroom. It can get boring sometimes. Anyway, he's done seminar sales, events, and online marketing, strategic consulting. And his work spans volunteering for the Singapore Malay Chamber of Commerce Industry, SMCCI, mentoring many youth and aspiring entrepreneurs, professionals, and startups in various programs. And in previous roles, he was also the head of marketing with an e-commerce marketplace. And he has founded, before this, two companies. Awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm. So Imran, you know, I've got a question for you. You know, we're truly like intrigued, right? You know, you call yourself this new Renaissance man. So what is the story behind this?
I knew this question would be coming up sometime, and it might as well be now. So I think the story to this is when I talk about career. So I was sharing with you guys earlier that I've spoken at a couple of like WSG or LLI events, seminars, and a lot of people who are listening in think that we have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth couldn't be further from that, right? The truth is, I think no matter where you are in life, you're still trying to figure things out. And no matter where you are in life, it's kind of like still questioning yourself. Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? You know, am I treating the people or my loved ones the way I'm supposed to? And I think what I found myself in at the beginning of this year was questioning everything. So the background to this was I was stationed off of mainland Singapore for national service,
mm-hmm.
protecting the country mm-hmm. for 3 weeks. We were locked up for 3 weeks and I kind of felt like I was in a cocoon, kind of like sweltering in my own thoughts and questions and why am I doing my life? Why am I here? What do I do next? You know, where is this all leading? And if I could create a blank canvas or a blank check and I start again, what would I do? And my answer to that after lots of like just lying in my cocoon or my blanket was I just want to be me. I just want to tell stories. I want to create. I want to help people. And I realized that that doesn't really fall within a job description or one single career, right? And I termed the term new Renaissance man because it was like a reawakening for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I also looked at what's happening today, right? So like the internet's changing everything, blockchain's changing everything, NFTs are changing everything in the blockchain side. And when I looked at something like that, I said, oh my God, that could be my thing, right? Like, because I could never be a painter and put up a gallery, but I've actually published my own NFT as an artist, right? So to me it was just that, right? That what I wanted to do was to touch people's lives, tell stories and really express myself. And that's what New Renaissance Man is all about.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people our age
back you know, in the good old days.
No, but I think, you know, we all go through this what they call the midlife crisis. It may not necessarily be a crisis, but we sometimes find ourselves at a crossroads. And we're wondering whether whatever we've been doing with our life is really what we want to do, what we're supposed to do, whether it's really our calling.
Yep.
And it's so important that we connect to that to find more meaning, right? And somebody who's searching for meaning could be going the complete opposite direction of where Imran is headed, for example.
Yeah.
But that's where they find meaning and fulfillment, right? But it's so important. I think the whole process here is what Imran is sharing is that time you take to just take a few steps back, not just one or two steps, take a very few steps back. Look at the big picture of your life, whatever you've done, whatever you've accomplished, some things you're proud of, some things you're not so, but everything there is a lesson. Do you agree? You've learned a lot, right?
I think it's about understanding yourself and what is meaningful to you. And I think that's another thing when people do ask me questions. Back when I was an entrepreneur and now I'm a salaried man, about, you know, what do I do? You know, I would love to do what you do. And I think the questioning that model of success is important, right? So maybe everyone says, oh, I want to be like Elon Musk or I want to be like Mark Zuckerberg. Then the question I would ask is, do you want to work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week and be bonded to this company for the next 20 years? Because that is the reality of that situation, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think once you understand the reality of that model of success, then we can ask ourselves, is that what I really want, right? And I think it's about creation of those considerations or variables to your own destination, right? And once you're able to do that, then you say, okay, how can I direct myself towards that? And but I think before we even get to the tactics and the steps and the models, it's back down to understanding ourselves. Who am I and what do I want? And I think, even from my, just speaking from my own experience, it probably took me 10 years to get out of my own way.
Yeah.
That's powerful, man.
Yeah.
You know, I like the part about knowing yourself, because I had that moment too. Because sometimes you just need to sit down and remove all the noise of what other people are saying you should be, other people's expectations of you, and just go back and ask, okay, what are my strengths, for example? So I want to ask you that, you know, how have the activities that you've done over the last couple of years helped you in understanding yourself better in terms of your strengths, your weaknesses, your areas of passion, and what experiences did you gain overall?
Well, that's a rich question, but I think I'll start with this. I think where we have known most of our time with each other, you've known me as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of that time, I've known myself as an entrepreneur. And it starts with this, what we call identity and labels.
Mm.
And for me, my identity was Imran is an entrepreneur.
Mm.
So I think this identity is powerful.
Mm.
What is the identity that we consciously or subconsciously adopt? Because that defines whether I even take the action or not.
Yeah.
So I never for 10 years ever looked at being an employee because my identity was an entrepreneur.
Mm.
Not because I didn't want to, not because I couldn't be,
mm-hmm.
not because people weren't offering me opportunities, but because I said I could never possibly do that because I am not a guy that would work for someone else. But that actually came crashing down in 2019 because at the end of that year, I questioned everything. I looked at my whole business. I looked at everything I did and this whole model of success. We were running a marketing agency back then, the Leverage Group. And after several years of running it, I started asking myself, is this it? Is this what I want? Where am I going with this? And I'm lucky or fortunate to know people like Meezy and many, many other successful entrepreneurs. And I sat down with a couple of people that built very successful agencies. Like, for example, they built a 100% agency that sold off to a global company. And I said, what did you do? And when I spoke with a few of them, consistently what they said is, you know, Imran, this is a sales game. What you want to do is you want to scale up your sales team. What you want to do is to scale up number of accounts. And you get that. You triple your deal flow, you triple your business.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I looked at that model, I went, I don't want to deal with 100 people. I don't want to churn around 100 accounts a year.
Mm.
Like, that wasn't what I defined as a meaningful life.
Mm.
And that started me down this road of questioning, like, am I even in the right place, right? Because, and then I realized, well, it was this label or identity that kept me where I was.
Mm.
Because of that, I would never even see other opportunities. And I think that's what most people are kind of putting themselves in, right? I am an accountant. I don't know anything else.
Mm.
Mm.
Until the disruption happens, I get retrenched and I go, oh my God, no, what? Now what?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And a lot of times, it's either this huge push or huge pull factor that normally makes people reassess. And for me, it was a couple of these events that made me really started questioning myself. And then I went this whole coaching, personality test, this and that, talk to people. It was a very painful period, lah.
Yeah.
I saw that thing unfolding because you were very public and open about it, if I recall, on Facebook. You were sharing the whole journey of you like rediscovering yourself.
Mm.
And I was like, as a friend observing, you know, like sometimes I would like your post and comment a bit, but I was just like, interesting stuff happening here with Imran. But I was happy for you because I'm always happy for people who want to dig deep down inside and confront the most uncomfortable parts of themselves. Like, why do you not question your own labels? The I am this, I am that. I think we should all do that every now and then. And if it scares you, get somebody who can support you. Like you said, have a coach or have a mentor because that really helps a lot.
Absolutely.
But I appreciate Imran so far. I mean, we're only two questions or three questions in, but you know, I feel the heart behind your answers.
Yeah, I know. I feel so much authenticity, you know, in you sharing what you've been through and you're just so candid about the stuff, right? And, you know, I like the point that you brought about the idea of labels. You know, I feel that to a certain extent, labels are good because it helps us to give some form of a direction. direction in terms of where we should be heading towards. But I think when we become not flexible, you know, when we are going through our journey and we tell ourselves, you know, this is what we have fixated our minds on and this is what I will forever be, you know, tied to, I think that is what usually gets people stuck and in trouble. Because as you mentioned, it kind of puts people in this box, right? They define themselves to their identity and therefore, you know, their thoughts, their feelings, their behavioral patterns, they follow suit, right? It's hard for them to adjust and adapt, especially when, you know, you look at the job market out there. It is constantly changing. It requires people to change, to be able to adapt. That's how you survive, right? In the tough, challenging markets out there, right? And I feel that when people are able to, you know, allow themselves to break through, you know, that bubble or that box that they tend to put themselves in, they'll be able to see a whole lot of diverse opportunities out there for them to actually embark on. And I feel that is where they're able to really, you know, discover their true passions, right? In the stuff that they're able to, you know, be zooming into, the strengths, their weaknesses. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand. So now everybody should look at, you know, themselves and ask, who am I, right? And what am I called to do in this life, for example? Those are not easy questions to ask, and you won't get an immediate answer, perhaps. Yep. Right? You need deep reflections, maybe consult some people, and then reflect again, put the pieces together, and so on. But I want to ask you something. Do you think that regardless of what industry you get yourself into in your career, are there certain must-have qualities that everybody must have? And if there are, what do you think those qualities are?
That's another very rich question, but I think let's go inside out, right? Let's go personal first, or from the within. If you don't fix what's going on inside, then it doesn't really change the externality. You can put you into another company, but the same patterns happen again, right? And I think the inside part is about the alignment, right? And I think back to the idea of labels, if I am unhappy where I am, and I look at very quick fixes like, okay, how do I deal with a unreasonable boss? I could look at very small fixes like that, but that doesn't change the big trajectory that I am unhappy.
Yep.
Right? And I think then the question that I would go deeper is, what beliefs, what decisions am I making that makes me put myself constantly into this place? Because it's the same thing, right? With, like, for example, why does this lady go into toxic relationship after toxic relationship after toxic? So it's a pattern. And the pattern is derived from inside based on identity, beliefs, decisions. If you're able to change that, suddenly all the options change. Actually, the options are there.
Yeah.
Right. So for anyone listening in, all the options in the world are there.
Yes.
All the potential is already within you. Then the question would be, how come there is a very thin focus and limit as to where I am moving? And it's primarily because of those filters internally. But once you address that, I'm saying that as if it's like that, right? But it's not, right? But it's a very big thing. But if let's say you go to external, right? If I were to look at from an employer point of view, and I think it's a difficult market for both people who are candidates and as much so for someone who's trying to hire, right? And I've gone through, like, for example, in the past month, I've probably gone through 50 resumes. Right, and I would be looking at, you know, is this person coming in with proactivity, excitement? Have they done their homework? Are they connecting? Are they authentic? Are they human? Because, and I can only speak for myself, right? Like, I want people who can come in and kind of like give themselves to the team, right? Like not at the cost of everything else, but when I'm in, I'm in, right? Like when I'm in, I'm checked in. I'm excited. I'm giving. I'm going
present.
Above and beyond.
Yeah.
And I would look for, like, for example, there was a post recently on LinkedIn, like, hey, should a candidate write in personally on LinkedIn or an email to the hiring manager? And to me, it's like, if you can write personally to me, thank me, give me a couple of very constructive questions and say, hey, by the way, I was thinking about this problem. I was thinking about this proposed solution. What do you think? This stands miles, heads and shoulders above 99% of the market where they can't be bothered. Right? Like, I've had candidates come to the interview and say, to be honest, I don't know what you guys do. I've not done my research. And, you know, like,
and
you have those kind of people, and then you have people that go way past the what was expected of them. And obviously, if I had a choice, I would choose these guys every single time. So I think those kind of productivity, that kind of work rate, that kind of authenticity, I think cannot ever be discounted. I think that's probably the first thing I look at. That I had a candidate that had a lot of good attributes recently, and I gave him a business case to do. I said, can you give me the business case by Monday noon? In fact, it was this Monday noon that just passed, and nothing came. And I cancelled the follow-up interview after that. Right, like 20 minutes, I said, oh, it's not in, cancel. And then he immediately wrote into the HR manager, said, oh, I saw the cancellation, what happened? The HR manager said, yeah, you're supposed to send in a business case, you didn't send it in, so we are cancelling the interview for now. And he said, oh, I didn't realise, I didn't know, I didn't see, but I mentioned the deadline physically face-to-face with him, and in the email where I give him the assignment, the deadline is there. Right? So when, if you're just honest and said, you know what, it is my mistake, I've completed it anyway, could you please consider? And if that person was honest, I would have taken him in a heartbeat to say, okay, let's take the next step, right? But he's not even working for me yet, and he's lying to me.
Yeah. And I'm going, excuses.
You know, like, that, so I'm looking for patterns and proof, right? So if I'm an employer, I'm looking, is there a pattern that this person communicates truthfully, humanly? Is there a pattern that he will over-deliver? Is there a pattern that he'll be proactive? Is there a pattern that he's delivering results, right? And if there is, the likelihood is that that pattern will continue. However, if there is a pattern of inconsistency, non-communication, non-delivery, then logically I would be like, okay, then that pattern will continue.
Yeah.
So, no matter what environment I put him in.
What would you describe that quality as? You mentioned honesty. Is that the main quality?
It's a combination, right? So I think maybe the number one thing would be just ownership, right? And I think you don't have to be an entrepreneur to take ownership of your job. Ultimately, we need to take ownership of our life and our experience, right? And I think taking ownership doesn't mean that you have to be responsible for everything. They talk about having the wisdom to know the difference between what you can control and what you cannot control. So if the person comes in and takes ownership but is worried about everything, including all the things they cannot control, will government have another shutdown and then focus on that 99% of them? You can't control that, right? But what you can control is, what is our response to that? Or what are our precautionary measures to that, right? So I think I would be looking for that ownership plus that balance of that emotional quotient and that logical quotient to say, okay, what can I control? What can I do now? And then beyond that, it is we leave it to God. We leave it to fate. We leave it to other parties, right? So I think that would be certain logical and emotional indicators I'll be looking at.
Interesting. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, let's take a trip down memory lane, right? When you were probably a few months, you know, into graduation. What were the thoughts that were going through your head, you know, as a student that's going to graduate, you know, going into the job market soon? Were there certain concerns you had about, you know, am I going to get the job? Am I going to get even a good job for myself? What was it like for you as a graduating student?
I think by all measures, I wasn't very typical because I wasn't necessarily looking for a job when I graduated. I actually had a objective to graduate NUS and have a business. That was my personal objective.
You went to business school, right?
At first, I went to engineering, then I went to business school.
Oh, so you did a
switcheroo, yeah. and again, I think there was some parts around like trying to please my dad and all that. My dad's an engineer, right? But then I had to keep calibrating towards what I really wanted. And when I graduated, I think this was 2010, it was right about or right after that 2008-09 financial meltdown as well. Right? So I think there were certain factors around that. I actually took on a role with my friend's father's company. They were a company based in India.
Mm-hmm.
They were setting up the Singapore office, and I was like their number one employee in Southeast Asia. So I was kind of like taking some sort of like an intrapreneur role. Mm-hmm. It was very tough, very difficult, because I was remote working with everyone else. We were distributing a Toshiba Japanese technology. It was an Indian company. I had to talk to this guy that was based in Japan. I talked to this guy that was based in UAE. I talked to this guy based in India. And I, one person alone, completely green, I was knocking on office managers' doors. Last time we were in Ascendas, right?
Mm-mm.
And I was talking to all the Ascendas guys and CapitaLand guys, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. and my role was BD, man. My role was to knock doors and get audiences and get meetings. And I remember I was so afraid. I was at the basement of Bugis Junction. It doesn't help that the facilities and management offices tend to be in some secluded, godforsaken corner in the car park. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was trying to enter a dungeon or a, you know, something. And I remember sitting in the car for half an hour being petrified and then driving away.
Oh my gosh.
Because I couldn't bring myself to knock the door, right? And I think, yeah. So I think I've been to some points where it's like, you know, you have to kind of like face your fear, and you know, you don't always win every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, you know, I was also looking for opportunities. I was looking at SBF opportunities. I was looking at other opportunities. But you know, when you're starting out, it seems like such a big world out there, and you're not really sure. I think my advice for people at that stage is go with your best gut or best decision that you can make with the information. And actually, that's all you're doing all your life as well, right? You never have complete information. You make the best information or best decision based on those circumstances and just move as fast as possible.
Yeah, great advice. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, you know, for students who just graduated from school, right? You know, I've been there before, and I would say it's personally pretty, like, daunting, you know, especially as a freshie trying to apply for jobs. Mm. And a lot of, like, you know, the job applications, it would state, you know, minimum industry experience, like 2-3 years, and I'm like, oh my god, like I think the only experience I have is like through school, and I don't think that really helped a lot, and I wasn't really active in, you know, all the CCAs. I'm like, how am I gonna get a job?
Right.
So, you know, for a lot of, like, you know, graduates, you know, these days, I think one of the, you know, main concerns they have is I don't have, you know, enough industry experience or the relevant industry experience. So how? Like, how do I go about increasing my chances of getting notice, of even getting hired?
I think the skill set and portfolio do depend on the type of functions that you want to work in, right? However, I think where business, technology, internet, social is going, you would also see that there were roles. Like, for example, hey, you know, I'm a live stream specialist in Shopee. You know, this role didn't even exist 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And I think increasingly so, there are a lot of very interesting new functions that are coming out that actually play to the natural strengths of the younger crowd, if that's who's listening in right now. And I think where they should be thinking about is about how do I build my portfolio commercially or otherwise. So for example, if I'm looking for a video editor or graphic designer, it doesn't matter, right? So I also run a podcast, and I have one of my team members who's an intern, and he's like, his one of his biggest responsibilities is actually planning, pre-producing, producing, post-producing the whole podcast end to end. He's an intern from poly. But I looked at his portfolio, and for school he produced a short film. And when I look at the portfolio, I was like, wow, he's good, right? So what we're looking for is proof of results and skills. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the certificate from school. It doesn't necessarily have to be I've done 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I think those are, especially when it comes from HR policy, they're looking at certain benchmarks. Certain benchmarks, certain guidelines. But especially when it comes down to the actual implementation and execution, I am 100% looking for proof that that person can deliver. And they can show all sorts of ways to do it. You know, they could volunteer for small businesses. They can volunteer at the site. They can do their own small gig. I've had people I hired on the spot. I created this internship for this person because this person did her own e-commerce. She produced her own vlogs. I'd be like, you know what? I don't have a position for you, but I'm creating one for you now.
Mm.
Right, so those are the kind of qualities again that I'm looking for as well.
Yeah, so to all of those who are listening in and you're fresh out of uni and poly or whatever, I mean, no excuses for you not to try to create those things that you can be proud of on your CV, because you did this here. You worked for Imran before as an intern. You go knock on his door, okay? Don't be scared. He's a friendly guy.
We are hiring. AI yeah. Amazing. .co is hiring for interns and full timers.
So, anyways, sometimes I feel like when I was younger, also I was just like, whatever opportunity there was, go for it. You know, there's very little that you will lose. There's a lot that you can gain. You know, if you could just get exposed by doing a project that is something that you've never done before, look at that as an opportunity to learn, and from that, you get wiser, you get smarter, and then you've gained a bit of experience, and then you can move on to something different, you know. So give it a shot, guys.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah,
absolutely. And I feel that, you know, especially when you're like fresh out of school, you don't really have, you know, much experience. I mean, like, yes, it is important to get a job that, you know, it's able to kind of like pay you a decent salary. But I think at the same time, it's also to kind of balance having, you know, prioritizing, building up your portfolio first, right? Your industry experience. And I think once you have that, you know, footing, it will really pave the way for, you know, whatever end goal you want to be moving towards. And, you know, I just want to share, you know, a very amazing initiative by Workforce Singapore, and it's called the SG United Traineeships Program. And I feel that this program is something that will be able to bridge that gap, you know, that gap where people feel like, oh, you know, I'm fresh out of school. I feel that I don't have the industry experience to get me the job. So SG United Traineeships Program, it helps you to kickstart your career journey, right? So basically, if you are a fresh graduate, you know, you could be from ITE, poly, you know, even like a uni grad, right? This program allows you to gain that experience and to build your professional network through a workplace attachment, right? Of up to 6 months with the hosting company.
Yeah, and from what I heard, individuals also get a training allowance of up to $2,500 per month.
Wow.
It's pretty good, huh?
Wow.
Being paid and having hands-on industry experience to help you build your portfolio and explore what you really want to go into for your career. I wish they had this during my time.
Yeah, same here, man.
So if you'd like to know more information, visit www.sgunitedjobsandskills.sg today.
So you could select for workplace attachment if you are a fresh graduate seeking traineeship under government support on My Career's Future. Yeah.
All right, so fast forward to 2021, Imran, what are you busy with nowadays?
My most important job is to be a husband and father to two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a large part of my own calibration in the past has also been to ask myself, how am I serving the people that I love the most? And I think that also came in as a very important factor back when I was in 2019, thinking about my business, what to do next. And, you know, like, it's a tough journey to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I obviously...
Imran's making me reflect a lot. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Asking all the deep questions.
And I started asking myself, is it worth being diagnosed high blood pressure? Is it worth my wife wanting to leave me? Is it worth me blowing up at my kids? Like, what really is the payoff, right? Mm. Like, is money really what I want? Is a title really what I want? Is the autonomy really what I want at that cost?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started really reprioritizing. What actually happened at the end of 2019 is I gathered my partners together. I told them about, you know, my thoughts and my decision that I said I want to do something different. I want to not work on marketing and brand projects ad hoc with 20 different companies short term. I want to do one thing long term. mm-hmm. right? And I wanted to go in-house. I didn't want to do agency work anymore. It wasn't meaningful to me anymore. Mm. And they said, okay, sure. So one of them is still doing agency work because he loves it, mm. right? And it just wasn't my path anymore. And I started asking myself, well, what's my path then, right? And I actually asked myself, who would actually want to hire an unemployed guy of 10 years? Mm. Which is technically what yeah. I was, yeah. right? I had never been employed for the last 9 years, right? It was difficult, right? So I actually spent about 5 months on sabbatical. And this was during circuit breaker when I went, okay, so what I want to do is I want to go into tech companies and I want to grow, right? I want to go in-house. I want to grow with them. I want to be in charge of championing the brand and really grow it with them, right? And so I identified, tech companies, Series A or B, brand marketing roles and to grow with them long-term. So that was like my quick highlights of my summary after 5 months of hibernating and thinking, right? Mm. And then once I decided, then I went all out to look for it. And this was during circuit breaker. Mm. And I said, okay, Imran, you best. You got a house, you got a mortgage, you got 2 kids, you got no income, and you're in circuit breaker, and you're unemployed, and you're unemployable looking for a job. And I was like, okay, so what do I do now, right? And I just did what I could do, which was I actually sent out 265 applications saying, hey, I'm looking for a job in marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And out of those 265 applications, I think I got maybe about 6 to 8 responses/initial interviews, out of which I had 3 solid offers, out of which I accepted a head of marketing role with Shopback, which is one of the leading rewards and aggregator for e-commerce in Asia, right? And I was so thankful for that, right? Because I was actually looking for it and I spread my net wide, but I realized 2 out of those 3 offers came through relationships that I built before. Mm. Right? And I think there's a huge hidden job market, mm-hmm. which I think for those listening in, you need to be aware of. That means the jobs either, for example, the job with Shopback was never published as a job role. Mm. But I connected with someone inside and they said, I'm looking for a head of marketing. And I thankfully got that role after many, many, many interviews and several months. So I spent 1 year there. And then I wanted to recalibrate. And where I am today is with this company called AI Amazing. So AI Amazing, what we do is we work with malls. We work with malls because malls are the hubs of retail. Physical retail is kind of in a challenging spot right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And we believe that malls, if they have the same data and capabilities as an e-commerce marketplace, so a mall is like similar to how an Amazon or Lazada is. However, they may operate a few steps slower mm-hmm. in pace or in terms of data or in terms of decision making.
That's true, you know. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
For example, if you go into Lazada, and you buy from 10 shops there, Lazada knows everything you buy.
Yeah.
Nor.
Yeah.
Like every single brand, every single item, what voucher
when
you
I
use,
buy.
what you paid with, what time. And, and actually, the malls, when you go into Starbucks and you buy a latte and bagel, and then you go to Nike and you buy shoes, and then you go to the bookstore, you buy a bunch of books, the malls don't see this.
Correct. It's true.
Right. So what we're doing is we're trying to give them that data visibility that the e-commerce marketplaces have. Mm. And the idea is once we are able to do that with data, you have so much you can do with it, right? So when I was in e-commerce, this was bread and butter. I saw mountains and mountains and mountains of data every single day, more than what I knew to do with, right? And I think what we're trying to do is we say, hey, what if we could do this in physical retail? We actually do really believe that that can herald a new era of growth for retail. So that's what I'm busy with. Mm. We run a podcast. We do LinkedIn content. We work with the major landlords all around Asia. And I get to do a bunch of stuff, including like a whole rebrand of the company and stuff like that.
Cool, yeah. Man. Very cool. Exciting stuff.
Mm. Yeah, wow. It seems like you've been through quite a lot, right? You know, since that time where, you know, you were kind of like jobless, you know, circuit breaker. That's like not that long ago.
You know what I liked about it? And I hope some of you who just graduated would listen and take example from Imran. He said he submitted 265 applications. I know I have people submitting 5, 10, no answers. And they're like, oh man, nobody's hiring at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the mindset and the attitude.
Yeah.
Right, Imran?
I came from sales. So I have a bit of a sales mindset as well, right? So it's like, you know, I think you cannot shortcut volume of work, effort of work, right? Mm. And I think if you want to give yourself the best chance, then at the very least, everything else aside, you need to do the best possible effort, right? And then everything else, your CV, your experience, your portfolio can come in, right? But if you're not giving your portfolio the best chance of being seen, then what good is it?
That's true.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. You know, when someone were to make, you know, a decision in, for example, going for that particular job, what would you consider a good career choice?
I think the choice that's good is the one that's good for them. Mm. And I think, I mean, there's so many factors into this, right? Like, you know, you have health, you have family, you have time. And like, for example, now at our age, I've accepted that there are certain things I cannot do at 37 that I could do when I was 21. I accept that there are certain outgoing costs that is just going to happen because I've got kids and all that, that I wouldn't have had if I was either 21 or still a bachelor. And you know, you got to make peace with that, right? Like, given those circumstances, you make the best decision based on optimizing for those results. And I think that career choice has to come in with what am I experiencing, what's my title, who am I working with, how much am I getting paid, together with all these other factors. How much time do I have? There's some jobs with the same title that could mean I work 9 to 6, and in another company that could mean I work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I think you have to do your best to understand all these different trade-offs and then make the decision that's best to you.
Yeah. So I think what I hear you say is that it's very subjective, right? It really depends on, you know, the person's situation as well, on, you know, whatever they're going through then, on what would be the best for them to make that particular, you know, choice for themselves.
Yes. And I think that's a very important perspective to gain, because if you look around for proof, you will always find people earning more than you.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that is a sure formula for being unhappy.
Yes.
Right? I think what is a better way of looking at is to ask yourself, what is the experience I want to have now? Right? And I think I actually believe that life is just accumulation of every moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask yourself, how am I this moment? How am I next moment? How am I next moment? And if you're saying, I'm just miserable and miserable and miserable, then guess what? Next 10 years is just going to be miserable. And then you got to ask yourself, is that really optimizing my career? Is that the best career move, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
On paper, if I'm just miserable and then I spread my misery to my loved ones. And I think there's always a trade-off, and I think I do believe that there will always be a possibility where you can make a compromise or a sweet spot between that role, that pay, that experience, that emotion, the life, the balance that you want, right? And I do believe, depending on each person's reality, it's possible. But I think it's important to give yourself a good reality check. And if you don't know what a good reality check is, then that's why you have people like WSG, career coaches, and all these other people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was just thinking of the cliche code, comparison is a thief of joy.
Yeah.
And it's so true, because I feel that when people talk about, you know, making a good career choice, it's not actually their career choice. They actually peg it to what is out there that looks, you know, glamorous and awesome. And then they take that as their career choice that they should be making. And yeah, you know, as what you mentioned, it results in a lot of unhappiness, because they feel like, you know, right now in their stage of life, they should be making 10K per month, because according to what they see on social media, 10K per month, according to what they're living right now, it seems to be giving the life. You know, they seem to look so happy. And I feel that when we allow ourselves to move away from that unhealthy comparison sort of cycle and really ask ourselves, what would really make me happy? you know, satisfied and fulfilled in terms of, you know, the career that I embark in, you know, in terms of the experiences that I go through. I think when we are able to shift that perspective towards the self instead of what other people are doing in their lives, I think it makes a huge difference. I feel that we are able to embrace life better. I feel that we are able to feel happier and more fulfilled in our lives.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem if you only look at, let's say, statistical benchmarks, medians or averages, because then you kind of peg yourself to that, right? Then if you're an average guy, then I'm earning 4K, but I'm also the most tired worker in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. You know, like, and I think once you remove yourself of the burden of having to be with the Joneses or mm-hmm. keeping up the Joneses, then actually the converse could be true. The converse could be you could be flying 3 times as high.
Yeah.
And I think we have to give ourselves first and foremost that gift of freedom, right? Freedom from those labels, freedom from those benchmarks, and say, okay, how do I create my life now? And I think that can apply to anyone regardless of the situation or job role.
Absolutely. Mm. And I feel that, you know, one of the things I've been through in my career journey, it is through living through my experiences, because I feel that life, it is truly, you know, the greatest teacher. It teaches you what, you know, you like, what you don't like. And, you know, I feel that when it comes to, you know, the kind of jobs that we want to be applying for, the kind of role that we want to be in, I feel that, you know, having that firsthand experience, it helps you decide better compared to just, you know, hearsay or, you know, reading on the internet. Oh, you know, I think, you know, this company, it's nice. But you'll never really know whether you have a good fit. Right, mm. with that role, with that company, until you are in it, doing the job, you know, working from 9 to 6, 9 to 5, right? Really immersing in the environment. And I feel that, you know, one of the initiatives by Workforce Singapore, which is called the Career Trial, right? It is one of the best ways to see if you would really enjoy the job that you do, right? Because it involves you being immersed in that firsthand experience working at the company. So it allows you that opportunity to reflect upon, you know, like how you feel about working in that specific environment, how you feel about, you know, carrying out those job responsibilities. So the more you're able to see for yourself, the better you can make a good career choice for yourself.
So this career trial program by Workforce Singapore will really help our listeners out there. It's a short-term work stint with a company where you can explore that job fit before confirming your employment with that company. You receive training allowance during the career trial itself and retention incentives if you choose to stay in that same job for at least 3 consecutive months. Employer may offer a job position with a starting pay of $750 per month for a part-time role or $1,500 a month for a full-time role. So if you are a Singaporean aged 16 and above, completed your studies or NS, still currently unemployed and seeking for that job placement, this is a great initiative to help you decide better. For more information on Career Trial, head on over to sgunitedjobsandskills.sg or visit Workforce Singapore's Careers Connect located at Paya Lebar, Tampines and Woodlands. At Careers Connect, you can also get job search tips, career advice or connect with the officers there.
Awesome. So it's definitely something that you want to check out, Careers Trial, you guys. Okay, Imran, I've got the next question for you,
yep.
Right? So, you know, we're talking about, you know, strengths and exploring our strengths. Do you think that, you know, strengths, it's something that changes over time? Or, you know, once we discover it, it's something that kind of sticks forever and ever? What's your take on that?
I wouldn't consider myself an expert on this. but I think just speaking from personal experience, I think there've been things I've been very excited and comes naturally to me.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I could come onto a podcast like this and have zero prep and just chat my ass off, right? But there are certain things like putting together an Excel sheet for project management that I would tear my hair out, and I think that hasn't really changed for me over the years. I think maybe what has changed is certain maturity or certain priorities in my life. I think the core inclinations haven't really changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think as the priorities or your interests may evolve over time. I think it's always useful to have a check-in about where am I now in terms of that skill set or what I've achieved. You know, even without planning, connecting the dots backwards, it's very interesting how, for example, remember I mentioned that very first job that I was petrified of, mm-hmm. knocking on doors of buildings.
Yeah.
I'm doing, you know, I'm talking to the same landlords today.
Yeah, no, in 10
years
way.
Later.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just so strange when I look back on it, I go, huh, that came in useful after all. Right, and I think those are important to kind of like take a stock of, right? Like, hey, you know, actually, no experience is wasted. If you're able to really look at the learning and the growth and connect the dots forward from there. So I guess that's what I have to say about that. I mean, aside from that, it's always useful to do. There are many, many tools out there. There are many sorts of different career coaches or coaching modalities that you could go through.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely highly recommend to have a regular check-in on yourself or with someone that you trust on a regular basis.
Yeah. I think it really helps to, you know, bounce off, you know, your thoughts, you know, whatever you're going through, your decisions with someone
yes.
who is able to kind of share with you their lived experiences as well, right? So I think that it really helps you to explore better and create clarity in terms of, hey, you know, yeah, I think this is my strength and, you know, maybe what I think I can really leverage on this and, you know, use this to my advantage. Yeah, and, you know, I like the fact that, yeah, you know, having that check-in sessions, regular check-in sessions is super duper important, right? Don't just kind of go through life and be like, I think, you know, what worked back then, maybe 10 years ago, is still going to work now. Mm. No, you know, have that regular check-ins with yourself. Talk to like-minded people, right? That's where you're able to open up your perspective to life on, you know, the possibilities out there for yourself.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, Imran, we're nearing the end. I would like to ask you, how would you sum up your career journey in a sentence? One sentence. 140 characters.
No. Right now.
I have trouble with this. I think it's the search for authentic expression. Mm. And where I found that I cannot fully be myself. And it repeatedly causes problems. Mm. That's when I started going, then I'm probably not in the right place. Mm. And as weird as it might be that I started selling technical solutions to buildings and then started knocking on SME doors to doing AI scorecards in Dubai to... somehow all of it was really revolving around how can I just be the best of myself and receive the best of life's experience as well, right? And so to me, it's really just about that. It was never about a title or money. And I think when it became too much of that, it also feedback for me that there's something going on here, right? Like I'm chasing something glittery but not true to me. And then why is that? And like, for example, I ask myself, you know, why do I call myself an entrepreneur? Why is it such a sticky label that I couldn't get rid of? And I think it was a lot down to a lot of my childhood experiences around acceptance. And people normally will say, okay, when I was in school, it was just like even earlier than that, right? And for me, it was like, if I didn't perform in school, my dad would look at me and say, you're not my son. And a lot of it was around this acceptance. And then I had this symptom.
Imran getting real here, man.
Yeah.
Even when I went to school, right? And I always felt like an outsider in school, like a round peg in a square hole or vice versa. And when I looked at my entrepreneur journey, it was really because I felt that I wasn't accepted or good enough. You know, I've got, talk about comparing, right? I've got classmates who are president scholars, who are today colonels,
wow.
who are today deputy CEO of listed companies. You know, and you know, if I compared, I would die, right? And I think that was what I was doing to myself back then. And when I think it was really this little boy asking myself, where could I go that I could get myself accepted and just be me. And I think entrepreneurship was that first thing that kind of shouted out, hey, you can create your own thing there. and then you can become a useful person there. And then, oh, even in Islam, it's very, very, very good to contribute and grow and solve problems and help humanity. And I went, oh my God, for the first time, maybe that's where a square peg like me can create a square hole for myself. And I think I got attached to it because ultimately it wasn't really about, actually it wasn't even about helping others. It was about me being able to say, hey, daddy, can you see me now? You see, I'm an entrepreneur. Can you see me now? I'm on burrito harian. Can you see me now? I went here. I went there. Can you see me now? I got this client. Can you see me now? I'm on today paper, you know. Can you see me now? Because I never had that when I was a child. Yeah, talking about being real, right? And I think it was really when I started to resolve some of these issues internally when I started realizing what I was doing to myself. And all along, I'm just looking for that place to be me. And then I get derailed because of these other issues, right? And then it becomes a show, a pretense, trying to be someone who I'm not. And then... now where I go is, as long as I can be me truthfully, authentically, and still contribute, then that's a good place for me. And I've also dropped the need that I have to do it forever. Like I have no idea. I could stop tomorrow, I guess. But as long as I can do that in that moment, then I think that's great.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
That's deep stuff. Very inspiring, Imran. I feel that, you know, I think all in search of all these things that you have done, the decisions that you made in life, it seems like, you know, all that you wanted to do is just to be seen,
yep.
to be recognized, to be accepted.
Yep.
Okay, so I hope you guys take all of that in, okay? Take all of that in and ask yourself whether you are really being authentic with yourself. And I can really connect with that because when, you know, being in the position that I am, right, with the background and qualifications that I have, there are a lot of expectations that I need to be a certain type of person. I need to be doing certain type of things. I need to stay away from certain industries because I'm not made for that. But I realized that real growth only happened when I went deep down and just did whatever that I felt I was meant to do. To me, you can really shine and grow exponentially when you just be authentically you. That's the truth. Nobody else can say, you know, if you were born to be a creative and you're doing admin stuff, you will never feel amazing, fulfilled, but you will also struggle to grow as a person. So figure that out, guys. Imran has given you all the clues and all the deep questions. So I hope you'll get there, inshallah. Okay, so please don't sit down and just, oh man, I don't know what to do with my life. There are no opportunities. There are plenty of opportunities right now. And we hope that you'll take on these offers that are available to you right now.
Yeah, you know, and as shared by, you know, Imran today, you know, he has shared that it is important for you to be proactive, right? It is important for you to, you know, first know yourself, and then, you know, the opportunities out there, they will come to you, right? Because I feel that whatever you seek for on the outside, it is always aligned to whatever is going on the inside, right? So don't go for, you know, fast fixes, instant gratification, but take that time. Take that time to really reflect, challenge your thoughts, right? Don't just be okay just living a mediocre life, because I feel that each and every one of us, we were born to be great. We were born to do amazing stuff with our lives, right? And I feel that that is only possible when we give ourselves that permission to challenge ourselves and to really push ourselves towards the potential. Our potential.
No, I thought we were born to be wild. Born to be wild.
And wild too.
Okay, if you choose to be. So, Imran, last words for all the career prospects out there.
Yeah.
What would you say to them in this current climate?
I think we've talked a lot about self-awareness and discovery. I think once you get clear of that, always look for people that you surround yourself with that can give you that sounding board feedback. And, you know, for example, WSG and their programs and their career coaches are a great avenue. And I think it's a great start. right? Whenever I've had difficult decisions to make, I've always made sure I have smart people around me that I could tap on and say, hey, can we go for prata? Or can we do this? Can we do that? Can I run some idea by you? When I was looking for jobs, I called on them. When I was starting the role, I called on them. When I'm making decisions, I call on them. And this don't have to be official or formal coaches or mentors. These are just people that I really respect and build relationships over time. And if you're starting out from zero network, zero experience, blah, 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 if you reach out to people like, let's say, Mizi, or even I have people reach out to myself every now and then, you'd be surprised that most of us actually reply, because this is simply because 99.9% of people don't ever reach out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't give themselves a chance, right? So I think surrounding yourself with great peers, great mentors, great coaches will literally change your life.
Awesome. Love that. Love that. Thank you so much, Imran. Thank you so much for your beautiful sharing. You know, I learned so much. You've been so engaging during like the episode. Oh my gosh. And I hope that, you know, the listeners out there as well, they have benefited a whole lot. I hope you took down notes, right? You know, share with us what you've learned, your insights, your reflections. And yeah. So today's episode is brought to you by Workforce Singapore WSG. It is a stat board under the Ministry of Manpower. So it is a government body that helps individuals meet their career aspirations, secure quality jobs, and strengthens inclusiveness of workforce in the face of change. So find out more at www.wsg.gov.sg, or you could even call the WSG hotline at 688-3585. Yes. So Imran, thank you so much once again for joining us, for your precious, beautiful time, your energy. Yeah, I learned so much.
Thanks, Imran. Nice catching up with you. Next meeting will be prata, okay?
Yes. Thanks, Mizi.
Thank you so much. And to the listeners out there, thank you so much for spending your time and listening all the way through. We can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. In the meantime, be bold, be beautiful, and stay the amazing you that you are. Take care, everybody. Bye.